curious how you could help improve the health and well-being of your staff? Get insights, cost savings opportunities, and disease prevention at your fingertips with Springbuck Health Data Analytics. Learn more at springbuck.com.
Greetings from Marion University. My name's Dan Elsner. I have the privilege of serving here as president of Marion University.
A privilege for Dan Elsner, a godsend for Central Indiana's only Catholic university. When he arrived on campus 20 years ago, just 1,000 students. Now, more than 6,000 call themselves Marion Knights. Dan Elsner's Think Big approach to the university transformation, a mix of bricks and mortar.
We need a big dining hall and an arena convocation center to hold 3,500 people, and this fitness facility we're building, an indoor track, will be awesome.
Innovative collaboration with public universities like Ivy Tech.
Together, we'll recruit a diverse set of students, start them on a pathway to get an associate's degree, bachelor's degree, and a master's degree in 4 or 5 years.
And building the Marion Knights athletics program into an NAIA powerhouse.
Knight Nation. President Elsner looked all over Marion University, found a patch of sand so I can be ready for Daytona. This is a total community effort winning this national championship. By the way, I predict we will win. We're going to all be together on this thing. We're going to settle the score with Southern Oregon, national champs, Marion Knights. Go Knights!
The Knights won that national title, their second, just 12 years after launching the football program. More with the man behind Marion University's exponential growth over the past 20 years. Get to know Dan Elsner, a lifelong educator, visionary, game changer, and my guest on the Business and Beyond podcast. Hello and welcome to the Business and Beyond podcast presented by PNC. I'm Gary Dick. Dan Elsner grew up in the Cornhusker State, Nebraska, spent his childhood in Omaha and Lincoln, the product of a tight-knit, strong Catholic family, one of six children. He and his four brothers excelled in baseball, basketball, football, and track. Elsner's prowess in football took him to Nebraska Wesleyan University, where he started on the varsity team all 4 years. He found a passion for teaching there, earned a master's in education administration, served as a teacher in Omaha, a principal in Topeka, superintendent in Wichita, before winding up in Indiana in the early 90s, landing a job running Catholic schools in the Indianapolis Archdiocese. Elsner's path eventually led to Marion University, where he has served as the school's eighth president since 2001. And I'm pleased to be joined on the podcast by President Dan Elsner. Dan, welcome. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Gary. It's good to be with you again.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. You know, I was thinking before we started here, 20 years. I mean, that's a long time. Does it seem like 20 years to you?
Yes and no. It seems like 200, and it seems like 20 minutes. It kind of depends on the time of day and the project I'm working on, but it's whether it's 10 minutes or 10 years or 20 years or 200 years, it's surely been an honor and a privilege and a lot of fun.
Yeah, you know, I think the word transformational sometimes is overused these days, but I think it is a very apt description of your impact on Marion University over these 20 years, from just the physical look and appearance of the campus programs. In fact, when you started, it wasn't Marion University, right? It was Marion College.
Right. It's Marion College, an undergraduate institution, and not only in size, but now, you know, with all the graduate degrees and four doctoral programs and, you know, an unbelievable medical school, it is, the elements were all here in substance. Things have been transformed and added to, and a lot of hands and hearts and minds and generosity are intertwined here to create this transformation, Gary.
Well, when you look back 20 years ago, I guess you felt as though there were, as you say, there was something there, because the dramatic changes that have taken place, again, transformative on so many levels, you know, I don't think many people could have envisioned the change that was about to take place at Marion. But you, I guess you had a belief, I assume, that, hey, this could happen.
Well, excuse me. You know, I think everybody has some work to do in this world. And if you find it, it starts to unfold. I've been given a calling, education, when in my own life and when I've seen others, Gary, how they start off, there's a lot of transformations that happen, each student, programs. And if you catch the bug on that, you're convinced that it can be more. I would say this too. I have had the privilege from work and personal life to travel and kind of look at cities and states. At one time, I thought maybe I'd get involved in public office. And I noticed that communities all over the world that thrive have great universities, plural. Educational attainment, culture, art, engineering. It starts with great educational enterprises. And we fell in love with this city. And I remember early on when I was here thinking, you know, if we want to be a great city, Central Indiana wants to thrive. Indiana wants to thrive. Your capital city could use a great Catholic university, a great faith-based institution. And so that kind of caught on. John Lechleiter was CEO of Lilly at the time. He really liked that idea, and some board members, and it just took off. A lot of prayer and hard work. But that's, I mean, it happened in a lot of ways, but I remember some key players envisioning it with me.
Well, you think about some of the big things that you have accomplished. You mentioned the medical school, the state's second med school. Mm-hmm. That's no small undertaking, to do that. Are you a risk? You think you're a risk taker? Is that an accurate description?
Yeah, I'm not a suicide mission type of guy, but if I, it's kind of interesting when you get involved, Gary, you see an opening and you see good partners. I knew the healthcare system. Indiana was the largest state by far with only one medical school. And then I was on healthcare boards, and the physician is so key to quality healthcare. And so the first time I mentioned it to Vince Capone, frankly, was the CEO of St. Vincent Health. He said that would be a brilliant idea. Most people laughed at me. So we started working on it. And yeah, so you see a need. Does it fit your mission? Can you do it in a quality way? Can you get the resources? And how will you evaluate it? Those are the five lenses we always look at. And we were off and running. And it's been the biggest project. I'm sure the ups and downs and trials of that will shorten my life a few years, but it's also a good contribution. So I guess it's worth it.
Yeah. What as an executive, what really drives your, I think you just mentioned it, but your decision-making, especially a big decision like that, that has opposition that not everybody says is a great idea. You know, a lot of people said, hey, it's not a great idea. How do you sit back and really, you know, reach those difficult decisions?
Yeah, you know, that's a really great question. I've thought about that some. First of all, you have to engage your intellect. You have to know the landscape, the economic, cultural, professional, what are the needs? And so there's got to be some data there. But I'd also say that you show me a fellow with passion and a sense of calling, a prayerful reflection of how will this serve the other. In other words, once it's about you, you're dead, in my opinion. Once it's about you doing something great for yourself or your institution, once you're other-centered, people want to help. And the difficult moments say, when you say, man, I feel like quitting, or this is going to be too hard, or why are these smart people laughing at me? You have to be able to say, you know, there's a calling here that's going to make a big difference. And if I can make a big difference, it's worth the journey. Once it's about yourself, you lose, and people around you lose motivation. And I really I believe there's got to be a larger purpose, and then the trials and tribulations become part of the journey, and worth overcoming.
Yeah, I've got to believe, because you have raised a lot of money over these 20 years for Marion University, and of course these days it's part of the job of a university president. But you've excelled at it.
Yeah,
is it that whole thing has got to be about others that has led to success there?
You know, Gary, I need to sit down and write a book someday. Fundraising or raising money are really non-starters. You can't raise money. Everybody wants money. You know, if I call Gary Dick up, say, Gary, I need money. You just say, well, Dan, everybody needs money. How much do you need? Get in line, you know? I think you need to do something. You need to describe. I'm amazed at how the donor thanks me and Marion more than I can thank them, because the Clips Educators College, everybody loves their greatest teacher. We need great teachers. Would you participate? Well, we've raised over $60 million the last 5 years for the Clips Educators College, but it was about something. It wasn't about, I need money.
Yeah.
Because once it's about needing money, you're just another guy wanting money. And frankly, I hardly ever talk about the money. Usually the donor asks us how much will it take to get this done? And then I know we have their heart, and I'm honest with people. And according to how much the good Lord's blessed them with money, they hand it over and we put it to work.
Yeah, that's great perspective. Hey, I've got to ask you about, because it certainly as a sports fan interested me when you made the announcement. You might have even broke that story on our show a number of years ago, and that's in football. Yeah. That's another, you said, hey, Mary, we need a football program. Yeah. And again, not everyone thought that was a great idea, right?
No, some really smart people. One of my dear friends with a PhD from Harvard said, what the hell are you talking about? you know what, Gary, that was more intuitive than a real analytical. Marion College, we just come out of, we had a foot in the financial grave and the other on a banana peel back in 2001. We were close to extinction. And a few years in, I thought it used to be an all-women's college, low enrollment, very quiet in the weekend. You know, tomorrow we'll have a playoff game. We're in the playoffs again.
That's
we'll have
great.
A big football game and all this excitement. And it just occurred to me, without a field, with no weight room, part-time AD, no football coach, and maybe it was my Nebraska roots, Gary, I said, well, hell, we'll start a football team, and that'll get some excitement. And I remember one faculty member almost shaking, saying, you are going to embarrass this college so bad. We were Marion College at the time. This is folly.
Oh, wow.
And I remember I said to him, I said, people play football every weekend. We can sure as hell play football. And I remember it just kind of caught people's imagination. It was a preposterous undertaking. We didn't own the land. There was 20 houses on the land I needed. How do you get 20 people to sell? You know, I mean, it was all kind of a miracle. And then Joe Clayton and some other people in town started giving me a little money. Joe's passed on. He was the head of RCA and went on to do Sirius Radio. He again said, it's a crazy idea, but it's so crazy, I'll give you money. Mm-hmm. And I remember laughing. And I told him, if we get this done, I'm going to get a horse and lead the team on the field. He said, well, hell, I'll give money to that just to see it. And of course I did. I don't know if you remember.
Yeah, that. I do remember that. Yeah.
But I think we did. We kind of broke it. And then we hired a guy named Ted Karras, hell of a football coach. And he got us going. And that gave us mojo. I remember being on CBS Sports, the national championship game down in Georgia. And I had alums, before text, email.
Yeah.
I'm in a bar in Mexico, and do I see Marion College on TV playing football? I said, yes, you do. Go Knights. So anyway, it stimulated interest. People came back to campus. A fellow named Paul Norman, the business center now is named after him, came back to campus, and he had done well in business and gave us a lot of money. And it's been a spark. And now I think at the time we started football, we had 235 student athletes. Now we have 800.
Wow.
And I used to pray we'd win in football, Gary. Now I pray for the other team because we're pretty damn good.
You are very good. You've got national championship trophies to prove it, too. Well, that is amazing. How would you characterize, or for folks who have not been on campus, what Marion, what the campus was like when you arrived as president, or you were named president, and what it's like today? Because I know it's like night and day. How would you describe the change?
Yeah, I think we've built 13 or 14 buildings, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars. We're building a great big engineering building right now that's just it'll be an unbelievable addition. We had a lot of, Gary, it was really interesting. This has been an enormous blessing, but our roofs leaked. We hadn't built a new building in 20-some years. You know, windows were single pane. We didn't have air conditioning in our main buildings. We didn't have air conditioning basically anywhere other than the library. And that was 2001, okay? So, you know, it's kind of wasn't like it was 1960. So we got to work, and it's totally transformed. The community's helped us. The amount of property we've had has tripled. I really, sometimes I think back to the gospel of fishes and loaves story, or turning water into wine. A lot of it, I can't even quite add it up, Gary. I mean, it's been incredible. A lot of good people supported us. And frankly, the flywheel effect has hit us now, and we're really growing nicely and a lot of neat things ahead of us. I probably should get tired someday, but I'm getting more energy as I go.
I bet. Yeah, that's interesting. Hey, before we go to a break, very quickly, because you mentioned it, what makes the story even more amazing is the fact that Marion essentially went out of business.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
How serious was it?
Well, it was serious. You know, when your bank calls you and say they're not going to renew your letter of credit, I said, wait a minute, you're the bank. You can't fire us. We have to fire you. They said, no, that's not how it works, buddy. And they wanted $2 million of unsecured money in our checking account to renew our letter of credit. And I didn't know what to do. I was brand new. So I called down to the mother house, the sisters of St. Francis in Oldenburg, Indiana. And of course, these are women of great faith and very little money. But they sent the money unsecured, $2 million, no note, no letter, no handshake, just, I hope this works. Well, I paid them back principal and interest, even though they didn't have an interest note on it, about 2.5 years later. And I remember the sisters' tears coming down their cheeks. They said, we never thought we'd see this again. And I did it in a whole assembly. I had the faculty staff all gather. It was an emotional moment. It was a big springboard to our future, really. I'll never forget it. It was quite a deal, because the head sister that sent that money down, she literally said, I never thought I would see this $2 million. And then when I pulled out the second envelope with interest, that's when she cried.
Oh, wow. Wow. I'll
bet it was quite an experience.
I'll bet. Hey, we're going to have much more with Dan Elsner, and including Dan's early years in Nebraska. That's when the Business and Beyond podcast return. Stay with us.
Imagine a world where every healthcare and benefits program decision is backed and guided by data. Springbuck is the health data analytics solution that equips you with the insights and expertise you need to sharpen your benefits strategy, advance employee health, and contain costs. Springbuck, a world of actionable health intelligence insight at your fingertips. Visit springbuck.com to learn more.
Welcome back to the Business and Beyond podcast presented by PNC. My guest this week is the 8th president at Marion University here in Indianapolis, Dan Elsner. And Dan, you're a Hoosier by the fact that you've been here for a long time, but you grew up in Nebraska, right? Correct. Tell me about the early years.
No, I grew up in a very loving, faith-filled family with no money. We all learned how to work, Gary. In the winter, you shoveled snow. In the fall, you raked leaves and you mowed grass and delivered papers. And there were six of us, five boys. And then the baby of the family was my little sister. She was the queen. But we all learned to work. And once you got in about the fourth, fifth grade, you started your paper routes. And my dad worked hard. He was a hardworking person and mother, and sent us all to Catholic school all the way. And we all went to college and earned our degrees. And it's kind of the American story where my grandparents were immigrants. So you got to love this country, really. If you hustle a little and have good values, and even though you're human, make your mistakes, It's a pretty great place, and I feel very blessed to have parents like I had that taught us to work and respect people.
Yeah, Midwest work ethic that you hear so much about, certainly in play there. Anything in particular that shaped you? Obviously, your Catholic faith was instilled at a very early age, very important to you, I assume.
Yeah. We got interested in athletics. And when we lived in Lincoln, Nebraska, Bob Devaney came to town to start that Husker dynasty So we all loved football. It was, your family and your faith, and then football was the next thing. And I played for 12 years, 4 years, Little League, high school I played, and was quarterback of the team senior year and captain. And so in athletics, I had great coaches. My head coach in high school and college were these kind of iconic great men is what I call them. They taught you football, but they taught you so much more.
Yeah.
And you learned to work awful hard, and you didn't have a lot of glory. You played on rough gravel areas, and you just played ball. You learned to be tough. You learn to stick with one another. You met kids from a lot of different walks of life. And it made you want to do well in school, because otherwise they wouldn't let you play. So,
right.
Yeah, so it was a big influence in my life's athletics, because it taught you a lot about leadership.
Yeah, and I would imagine that back to that decision to start football at Marion, you said you went on a lot on your gut. Probably that football background played a role in that. I'm of the opinion that athletics, all sports, teach you things. And I think football, to me, more than any other sport, teaches you that leadership, stick-to-itiveness, all those kinds of things. And so obviously that's had an impact on you.
Yeah, it does. And frankly, I wouldn't make the investment. I wouldn't recommend to our board to make the investment in athletics if I thought it was just about a game. And I mean, we use it for leadership development, retention, academic excellence. And it's a great tool, a laboratory for character and leadership development.
Yeah. Went to a liberal arts college, Nebraska Wesleyan. Did you know you wanted to be an educator, or what did you think you wanted to do?
No, I really didn't. I remember I had Senator Marvel. He was a great guy, a powerful politician back in Nebraska, ran for governor and lost. I helped him out. He would pay me to help with tutoring, and I worked in the legislature. I finished my undergraduate in 3.5 years, and I was helping some students. He would take me to the penitentiary to teach classes with him. I didn't live in the penitentiary. I don't want to give you the wrong impression.
Glad you clarified.
But I remember he looked at me one day and he said, "You know what you are, Dan Elsner?" I said, "No, Senator, what am I?" He said, "You're an educator." He said, "People just listen to you, and I think you should teach." And so I had to do a few things with some courses. I did them, just not online back then. You did them extra kind of credit thing, book, took tests, and I ended up teaching. And now when I started teaching, then the principal of the school I taught in Omaha and coached there, he said, "You ought to be a principal." I remember by Thanksgiving, my first year I was teaching, I said, "Well, I just got started teaching." He said, "Well, start graduate school, because you're going to be a principal someday." And I didn't know what he was talking about. And he was right. So at the ripe old age of 29, I became a high school principal in Topeka. And so I really caught the bug. I loved seeing kids develop. I loved being around the enterprise and learning. there was always a lot of excitement, sometimes crazy stuff. I remember when I was a principal, I thought, you know, I'm basically the director of a hormone jungle here. This is crazy place. You know, kids were always doing goofy stuff that I didn't, right. But I could relate to them and I had a lot of fun. And so I never had to go to work once I started teaching.
Yeah.
I haven't to this very day had to really go to work. I've got to do something I love and I thought was making a difference in individual lives and in the community. And That's enough to keep you pretty happy.
Yeah. So education brought you to Indianapolis?
Yeah. There was a surge firm. I was superintendent in Wichita and I wanted, that was like 13,000 students. And I was pretty young still in my 30s. And I thought, well, why don't I take over a bigger district? And the Catholic schools here were 71 in number at the time and 25,000 young people. And that was a pretty big challenge for me, almost double. I'd never been to Indy, basically. I didn't know a person here. My wife said, why are you even interviewing there? We're not going to Indianapolis. And now we love the place. We've been here 30 years and it's a privilege to be part of this community.
Yeah. As you look at Marion and you kind of look to the future, or actually some of the programmatic decisions you've made that have really contributed to growth. I mentioned 1,000 students when you started, now over 6,000. You've got these really interesting partnerships that you've established with schools, public schools like Ivy Tech, but also I know St. Joe's. And talk about
K-12 schools. We took over Ancilla this year. And
Talk about those partnerships and kind of the thought process behind them.
We've developed a vision, Gary. I mean, I have a teaching site in Oklahoma City, one in Nashville, Tennessee. We believe higher ed, private higher ed, will be a network or system of schools that share resources of technology, hopefully good executive leadership, fundraising, et cetera, and that through the multifaceted approach and building out all these educational nodes, we have a lot of interesting discussions going on with other universities to join this vision. So really over the next 10 years, we think it'll grow mightily again, where you'll have a good basic hub universities distributing information down in the K-12 space, in the college space, and out in job training and continuing development. We're a learning enterprise. We kind of changed our mission. We're not a purely credit and degree granting organization. We're a learning enterprise. And we've got to think womb to tomb. We can't let geography limit or someone's income. We've got to get everywhere, or their race or their background or their cultural differences. Education's so valuable now to earn a living and change the world. We've got to be able to distribute it in a cost-effective way at a high level with good personal touch. And so, as you can say, I have a little energy about it. But we'll keep growing like that here on the main campus, but more so with partnerships here and around the country, frankly.
Yeah. Well, and as you're doing that in the face of some very challenging headwinds in higher education. I know in reading literature that I think it's 2025, this big drop off in the number of college age students that stands to impact universities like Marion in a big way. Yet you have this very intentional strategy to combat that.
Yeah. Well, all that's going on, Gary, with the 18-year-olds, the rest of the span of humanity needs ongoing education. So actually, the way I look at it, the pool got bigger and education's never been more valuable. There's some scholars that are writing, Dr. Levine is one, there's going to be three categories of higher ed. One category, they're going out of business. They're going to really, they're going to struggle and eventually just close or merge. Number two, there's going to be these mediocre players that just struggle and stay alive and plug along and they just barely make it. Then there's going to be institutions that are distinctive, high quality, innovative, and grow. And I was really proud with the U.S. News and Report. There's Marion University, second most innovative university. You know, there's a lot of great universities in this country. Yeah. And how in the hell did we get there? But we're thinking differently, and it's challenging. We got to bring a lot of people along. But the future for high quality education for all ages in the right areas, especially STEM, strong liberal arts for communication and analytics, it's all out there before us. We just have to deliver it in a cost-effective, high-quality way, and we'll be in that third category that thrives, I'm quite convinced.
That's great. Final question for you, Dan. As you look at Marion University 10 years down the road, I'm kind of hearing you say you see the enterprise, as you described it, as a much bigger, potentially, mm-hmm. and a vibrant institution.
Yeah, we really will. And we have things in motion now at the new E.S. Whitaker School of Engineering, biomedical engineering, the med school. We have a nice, vibrant research space in 16 Tech that's booming. So we have these two-year college concepts. We have teaching nodes that are integrated with healthcare. We're going to do it with businesses. So, yeah, we actually do see a lot of opportunity, but you'll have to think out of the box and get comfortable leaving your little K-12 room with your your classroom with everything, 20 yeah. students in this. Yeah. And it's going to be that, but it's going to be a lot more.
Yeah. Dan Elsner, the 8th president of Marion University. Dan, always a treat to be with you, and certainly have enjoyed our conversation on the podcast. Thanks so much.
Congratulations to you, Gary. It's always nice to be with you. And over these 20 years, every time we have a big idea, you always let me on. So thank you.
Yeah, and I always enjoy that too. I'm looking forward to the next one. And I want to thank everyone for joining us on this edition of the Business and Beyond podcast presented by PNC. It's a weekly conversation with achievers in business, sports, entertainment, and beyond. And you can download it and get business news from all over the state of Indiana 24/7 at InsideIndianaBusiness.com. I'm Gary Dick. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time.